We are very rapidly coming upon the next festival in God's plan for man. It's unbelievable, but the Feast of Trumpets is 1 week from this Monday. We know that the Feast of Trumpets show many end-time events, many prophecies, many instructions from God regarding the end time. As we look back throughout history at human beings and how human beings act and react, human beings tend to be very slow to believe God and to take God seriously. Something in a human being's nature finds it hard to heed God's warnings, especially when the present time in our lives or in a human being's lives are going quite well at the present. We have a hard time thinking that our surroundings can quickly change for the worse. And I think for the first time in my life was a couple of years ago with one event, the world just changed rapidly. God has taught us and have allowed us to understand many prophecies and many end-time events that will occur yet in our future. This coming Feast of Trumpets pictures and describes many of those prophecies, many of those events that will occur. The ultimate truth that he teaches us is that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. That's a tremendous truth to know, and know when he will return at that seventh trump. God has taught us these things. The coming Feast of Trumpets, pictures and describes these prophecies. The ultimate truth is Christ. Other prophecies that God teaches us give many warnings that we must take heed of. That's being us. We need to take heed of. God tells us we need to watch. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared for Christ's return and all that comes before that. The question is, will we be like the majority of human beings throughout the days and history? Will we pay close attention to God's instructions, to God's warnings, and respond to him? Or will we allow these end-time events to come upon us like a thief in the night, completely surprised, along with many, many others out there in the world? Today I would like to focus on what God expects of us before these end-time events are unleashed on the world. God expects us to be alert, to be awake, to be prepared and expecting these events. If you'd like a title for this message, the title is simply, Watch and Be Ready. Watch and be ready. We have many scriptures in the Bible that talk about the day of the Lord, how quick it comes upon society, how quick all of these end time events are going to come upon society. Let's go back to Zephaniah chapter 1. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures just showing how God has described how quick and how speedy and how rapid these events are going to come upon the world. Let's read here in Zephaniah. It's a few chapters before Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 14. It says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly." It says it hastens quickly. That's a description that God placed in here. "The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men." And then we ask the question, why? Why is this going to occur? God says, because they have sinned against the eternal. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance, it says, of all those who dwell in the land. What sin does is horrible. It's causing God to do this, to destroy the results of sin. Here we see descriptions how it comes quickly, how it is speedy, using these descriptions. Let's go over to Malachi chapter 3 for another example. Here we're going to read about a description of Christ where it says he's coming suddenly, using the description of suddenly. Malachi 3, we're just going to read one verse here in verse 1. Malachi 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the eternal, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Up there he said he will suddenly come to his temple. It makes it sound like it's quick. Brethren, we have read a few scriptures here which show how quickly things can happen, how speedy, how suddenly these end time events could be moving on the face of the earth. God is teaching us that we need to be looking right now. We need to be prepared for these things to occur right now. He said we are to watch and be sober, to be awake, to be alert, to be sober. We can see from these scriptures that we have read that when God determines it's time to go, when it's time to move, when he decides the day and the hour, he will be delayed by nothing. Nothing will delay him. God warns us that he will move swiftly and he will move suddenly. People on the earth will be caught off guard by the quick unfolding of world events. I know in my life, throughout the Church of God, I have witnessed so many people trying to figure out the exact time of events, figuring out the year down to the day. I don't know if they're down to the hour. I don't think I've heard that one. But they've tried to figure it all out. God has provided us information of the end time events. He's given it to us throughout the Gospels in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. He's given it in Revelation. He's given it back in Daniel. And as we tie all these tie together, it gives some description. God gives us information that the world does not have. The world is going to be taken like a thief in the night. They are going to be completely surprised, just like it was in the days of Noah. But he's not expecting us to be taken by surprise, not as a thief in the night. He's given us this information to help us. He wants us to have this information so that we can be ready, that we can be prepared for it. And obviously, it won't affect our mental capacities as bad as those who have no idea of what is happening. So what I would like to do right now is spend a little bit of time in Matthew 24. I'd like for you to go to Matthew 24. And we know that the same situation occurred in Matthew 24. It was recorded, I should say, in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. What I would like to do right now is just go through in more detail Matthew 24. And then shortly go through Mark 13 and Luke 21, just in the area of the instructions to us. But let's first begin in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Now as he, Jesus Christ, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately." And we'll see here in a minute, in Mark, he was talking to Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Four individuals. It says he came to him privately. It was a private conversation. And in this information throughout the rest of the chapter, he is answering the questions of these four disciples. These four disciples have been dead a long, long time. This information is given for us at the end time. You could place your name there. He could be telling you this information personally. He's wanting us to know this information, to be watching, and to be ready. Let's go on. It says, "He sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately." It was a private conversation, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" We would all love to know that. We would all love to know the day or the hour. We can't know that. But we can know when it becomes near. Let's go on. "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you." I'd like to, we don't have time obviously, but you could go on in your own studies to Revelation chapter 6. This verse in verse 4 goes along with Revelation chapter 6 on the first seal, where it talks about these false teachers, false apostles. It says, take heed. In other words, beware. Be warned here that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Then the second seal of Revelation 6, he begins to talk about. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Then he begins by talking about seal number 3. And there will be famines. There's going to be famines. That was discussed back in Revelation 6 with the third seal. And then the fourth seal was pestilences back in Revelation chapter 6. And earthquakes and in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, Christ is telling us. He says, this is just the beginning of childbirth. Just like birth pains. We've seen false teachers. We've seen wars. We've seen certain famines, certain pestilences. And obviously all of that's going to increase as we move forward, as the birth pains progress. Here, he says, Jesus Christ is telling us, this is the beginning of birth, of the birth pains. You ladies that have been through birth, you know, obviously I haven't, but I've witnessed it. And at the beginning, the contractions are very far apart. There's pain, but nothing like it is when you progress, as time moves forward. Here he says these first four seals are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of these birth pains. Then in verse 9, he begins the fifth seal. "And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." That fifth seal described back in Revelation where the martyrs, there's going to be some of God's people that will have to give their life, it says here. We know the fifth seal has to do with the great tribulation as well. The tremendous amount of confusion and pain that will be going on in this time frame. Christ is saying, I want you to have this information. And he's going to be giving us this information for a reason. He goes on, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Obviously, we know there's a place of safety. But there will be some of God's people that's still on the earth, and they're going to be singled out. Verse 10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So there must be an escalation of false prophets that will deceive. Will the false prophet be on the scene at this time? I don't know, but this is an escalation from what was described back in verse 4. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, because sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So Christ is telling us the endurance to the end is important. That's where your reward is. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. We know the two witnesses will be involved. We know the church will do what it can, I'm sure, at that time to preach the gospel in whatever way they're able. There will be angels preaching the gospel at the end. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. So here he pulls in Daniel's writings. We've seen Daniel's writings. He's pulled in Revelation's writings. This abomination spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, standing in Jerusalem. Whoever reads, let him understand. You know, you try to figure out what is the abomination of desolation. We've been taught armies coming in close to Jerusalem. The word abomination means disgusting. It means filthy. It means idolatrous, detestable. Something detestable and idolatrous is going to come into Jerusalem. Desolation means to devastate or destroy or lay waste. You know, I think Christ is it for sure telling us we need to focus our eyes on Jerusalem if you're still on the earth at that time. And it will show what this means, because I don't know. I've tried to look at this, even with what has been taught in the past, and you'd have to speculate on what this means for sure. I have a speculation, but I will not share it with you. I'd get in trouble. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. If you're in Jerusalem area, in the Judea area, when this occurs, when the abomination of desolation occurs, whatever comes in and is detestable and helps to destroy within Jerusalem, the instruction from Jesus Christ says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. When you flee, you go quick. There's no dilly-dallying around here. The instruction is you flee to the mountain. Let him who's on the housetop not come down to take anything out of your house. You don't have time. This could happen quickly, suddenly, speedy. Verse 18, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those with nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be. The being present on the face of the earth at this time with these descriptions would be horrible. Horrible. And Jesus Christ is telling us about these things that will be occurring in our future. There's a purpose for it. Verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. So there's going to be, no doubt, people at that time telling God's people that will be on the face of the earth, there's Christ right there. But Jesus Christ is telling us before it occurs here, do not believe it. That's his instruction to us. Verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And this seems to fit what the false prophet will be doing on the earth. Verse 25. See, I have told you beforehand. Let me read that verse again. This is direct information from Jesus Christ, and he's wanting us to know this. He says in verse 25 to us, see, I have told you beforehand. He's wanting us to know these end time events for a reason. He's wanting us to know before they happen. A prophecy is something that is yet in the future. Verse 26, therefore, if they say to you, look, Christ is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, Christ is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ is not going to come in a rapture. He's not going to come invisibly. It's going to be obvious when he returns, and you're going to see it in the heavens. Verse 28. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. You know, the description of that fifth seal, which is ending right now, is horrific. It's times that have never been on the face of the earth before, not now, nor ever will be. Horrible times. But he's telling us these things beforehand. Then verse 29 comes to the sixth seal, the heavenly signs that's described back in Revelation chapter 6. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. If we are on the face of the earth and see this occur, we're going to be going, wow, we're getting closer. It's almost time. We've almost endured to the end. Verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man, will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's going to be very obvious when Jesus Christ returns. Verse 31. And he, Christ, will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, that seventh trumpet, that no doubt we will hear about between now and on trumpets. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Those who have died would be resurrected first. Those who would still be alive would be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, so we have done a lot of reading right here in this chapter. This was a private conversation that Jesus Christ was given to his disciples in a private conversation. It's like he's talking to us. Why was he saying these things? Why was he telling us these things? Well, let's go on. Verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. Why did he use the fig tree as an example here? Well, over in the Jerusalem area in Judea, fig trees are common. All of these guys, these four disciples, knew what a fig tree was and how it reacted and acted as they grew. It says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. These men would have known as they see the tender branches begin and see a leaf form, they would know that summer is near. Would they know the day and the hour when summer came? No. But they would know it's coming near. Why was he using this parable? Well, he was describing how these events will help show us when the time is near. We can't know the day and the hour, but we will know when it is near. Verse 33. So you also, talking to us, you, put your name there. You also, when you see all these things, when you see some of these events begin to occur, know that it is near at the very door. Answering the question, when will the end be? When will you return? You'll know when you see some of these events, it's going to be near. Verse 34. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Then in verse 36, but of that day and hour, the end of the world, when Jesus Christ returns, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. It was very important for him to teach us that, so we understood. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, he's using an example from the Old Testament, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, the worldly people at that time were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were living their lives normally. They had no idea what was about to be faced with. They had no idea of this flood was about to happen. Verse 39. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He's saying, I'm going to come quickly. I'm going to come suddenly, speedy. When it begins, when God decides it's time, it's going to happen and nothing is going to stop it. He says the world, just as in the days of Noah, it's all going to come upon them as a surprise. They will have no idea. Verse 40, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. And then he teaches us this in verse 42. He says, watch, therefore. Because of all that he is teaching us and telling us about before it occurs, he says to watch, therefore. This word watch here means to keep awake. It means to be alert, to be on guard, and be vigilant. A watch, in a military term at that time, when the village was there or the other military men were there, there would be some sent out, usually high on a hill, and take watches. The first watch was 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch was 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch was midnight to 3 a.m., and the fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They were to be alert. They were to be awake. They were there guarding, looking for the enemy to come. This is the instruction that Christ is now telling us after he's described and told us beforehand what would be occurring. He says, I want you to be awake and alert and be on guard, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We can know that it's near, but we're not going to know the hour of his coming. Verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, because of that, therefore you also be ready. This word ready here means properly prepared. Here Jesus Christ has given us a private conversation, telling us prophecies, telling us world events, end time events that's going to occur in our future. He instructs us to keep awake, to be alert, to be on guard, and be properly prepared. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. This word watch here means to keep awake and be alert, as we said. It says here that Christ is pictured as coming as a thief in the night. Let's talk about that thief in the night just a little bit. A thief usually comes at night when the household is away from the house or they're asleep. That's when a thief comes. The thief catches them by surprise. They weren't looking for it to happen. They weren't expecting him to come that specific night. We do not know the exact time when Jesus Christ will return. He's telling us that. It says here that Christ will come unexpectedly. God is telling us that we are to be watching and to be ready at all times. We can look at that from a physical standpoint, at looking at world events. Brethren, more importantly, we need to be looking at ourselves. How are we doing spiritually? What is our focus? What is our primary? What is our priority in our life? Okay, with this said, let's go now to Mark 13. And I would like to read just the last portion where the instruction was to us. It gives a little bit more details. Mark chapter 13. And first, I would like to go up and begin by verse 3. Because I want to show you the four individuals, the four disciples that Jesus Christ was talking to. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when will all these things be and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled and so forth. Now, let's go down to verse 32. It's a private conversation. This is a different writer looking at it from his angle. Mark 13, beginning in verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed. He says, beware, be cautious, watch, be alert, be awake, and pray. Have a relationship with God, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. The doorkeeper was to guard the house. Verse 35. Watch, therefore, be awake, be alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether it's in the evening, the first watch, whether it's at midnight, the second watch, whether it's the crowing of the rooster, the third watch, or in the morning, the fourth watch. lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, unprepared, totally surprised, unexpected. He says we are to be awake and alert and not sleeping. Verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And we would be included in that. Here we read a very clear instruction to us all. The instruction for us to watch and be prepared, and especially not sleeping spiritually. Let's go to Luke 21 now. Luke 21. This is Luke's account of the exact same conversation. Luke 21, and let's read here in verse 34. Luke 21, beginning in verse 34. It says, but take heed, beware, be cautious, to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Okay, now he's beginning to address us individually. Personal things, choices that we make, focus that we have, priorities that we have. It says, take heed to yourselves as an individual, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. That's what Jesus Christ is instructing to us, that this is extremely important for us to take heed here. Verse 35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always. Prayer is extremely important in this process. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Asking God for help through all of this process so that we can stand before Him face to face. Verse 30, okay, we're going to stop there. Certainly we need to watch world conditions, as I think this is described, because we need to know when things are near. And understand them compared to what the Bible has warned us, has instructed us beforehand. Many human beings will be watching the world conditions as they occur. They won't have any idea what is happening. There will be only a few that can see why and where these world events will lead up to. God has taught us about these end time events and how they will progress. We should be watching world events, expecting them to happen. Be looking for certain areas, for certain things to progress. We need to be awake. We need to be alert to the surroundings around us on this world. But brethren, more importantly, we need to be awake and alert to our own spiritual condition, our heart. Are we carousing? Are we drunkenness, cares of the life? All these things that you get wrapped up in the physical, the focus being wrong. It's extremely important in this process what Jesus Christ is telling us. He's teaching us these things that we need to be careful of how we are spiritually right now. What is our spiritual condition? In Matthew, Jesus said his brethren are to watch and to be ready, to be properly prepared. The end time events will not be a surprise to God. God's going to know the exact time, the exact hour. There will be no surprise in God, with God. The sudden element of surprise will be a reaction of human beings that are not watching and are not prepared, which is going to be the majority of the human beings on the face of the earth. Despite God's warnings, we at times are distracted by other things that are just simply not important if you ask God. If you would ask God, what's important, what's not important? Many times we get distracted by things that's simply not important to God. We might be alert to what is happening in the world. We might have prophecy all figured out, but yet sleeping with what is occurring in our own spiritual life, the character that is to be developed, and striving to repent, striving to submit our life to God. We can still be spiritually sick, even if we see some of these events and understand them. If we are alert, on guard, and ready, then our spiritual condition will be healthy. It's going to be healthy in God's eyes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. We all know that this is the foolish and wise virgins. This is the next chapter after chapter 24, where he has said these things. I think Mr. Zollner has covered this as well. Hopefully we don't contradict each other. Matthew 25, here's the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Those who were foolish had the door shut in their face. They weren't watching. They weren't prepared. They were not ready. Let's read here in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So to fit into this specific sermon, 5 of them were watching and ready. 5 of them were sleeping. Verse 3. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The foolish wasn't prepared. They didn't have enough oil for their lamp, but the wise looked ahead, saw the potential, and had extra oil. Verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, let's stop there a second. After, out of all the time during the day, what is the most unexpected time for anything to occur? You know, midnight, everybody's sleeping in a given night. So at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." Quickly, suddenly, speedy. "Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." If we stop there and think about this a little bit, I think this is describing an individual responsibility. If I were foolish, you can't make me wise. I have to repent. I have to make the changes myself to fall into this wise category. You can't help me get into the kingdom of God. You know, you can be a support, you can be an encouragement, but you can't make my choices. I have to make my own choices, just as these 10 virgins did here. Verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." Wonderful, happy time for those who were watching and those who were ready. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins who were not watching, not ready, came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Apparently, they didn't have this relationship with him. Verse 13, what's the answer? Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The wise virgins were prepared and ready beforehand. Comes back to us. How are we doing? You know, we tend to think more highly of ourselves than what we truly are. You know, maybe it's time to ask God, please show me who I am. Where do I fall short? Where do I need to be thinking and focused on to be watching and to be ready? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We should not be surprised as a thief in the night. Here the Apostle Paul talks about the speed and the sudden destruction that occurs. And he talks about these things that we have been discussing. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It comes very quickly. Verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. That word sudden describes again. This sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You know, we talked about there at the beginning of Matthew 24, the first four seals being the beginning of childbirth pains. As you go through the fifth seal, the Great Tribulation, martyrdom occurs. The impact gets strong. It gets serious. The pain is there. You know, I questioned whether Roz would make it. As a one-time, first-time father, the pain increases. It's serious. It's intense. He says, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains among a pregnant woman. Once those pains get to a certain point, there is nothing that stops it. It's all the way to the birth. Whether you want it to stop or not. It goes on to say, and they shall not escape. The worldly human beings will not escape what is fixing to hit this world. Verse 4. But you, brethren, place your name there. You are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do spiritually, but let us watch. Spiritually awake, spiritually alert, and be sober. This word sober here can mean ready, disciplined, to be prepared. Paul's saying we are allowed to do that. We should be doing that because we're in the light. Verse 7, for those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. Focused on the physical. But let us who are of the day, focused on God, be sober. Be ready. Be disciplined. Be prepared. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, all that God has taught us through that armor. He's given us everything that we need to make it to the end. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Focused on that future goal, salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. He didn't call us for us to die. He called us because he wants to give us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his purpose. It's his goal. We are the only one that can stop it. Verse 10. Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him for all eternity. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Here Paul describes this day of the Lord the same way as the gospel writers, as coming as a thief in the night, very quickly, very suddenly. He also describes this time when sudden destruction comes upon them, upon the world. Then he focused on the brethren and told them that these times should not overtake them or us as a thief. He instructed us to watch and to be ready. What Paul was saying to them and to us, we should be able to recognize end time events as they are prophesied to exist right before Christ's return. Why should we see them? Because we're expecting them. We're looking for them to occur because Christ said they would occur. We can know that they're going to be there, and we can be looking for them to come. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. All of these prophecies that have been given beforehand, giving us knowledge of some of these events beforehand, before they occur, they're still yet to happen in the future. Here in 2 Peter, God has given us his prophetic word that shines light to us in this dark world. He uses this information to teach us so that it will help us. 2 Peter 1, I just want to read one verse here in verse 19. It says, we also have the prophetic word. We have the Bible. We have God's truth. We have his instruction here. We have his prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. He's saying, take heed to these instructions that are given to us, what they're trying to teach us. For a final scripture, let's go back to Matthew 24 now. I didn't read the end of the chapter, and I'd like to do that before this sermon is over. It's about the faithful and the evil servant. Those who were faithful to the instructions that God was teaching a human being, and those that would be evil, that would not be doing what God's instructing. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 45. This was right after where we quit reading. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? You know, we can ask ourselves, man, how is God judging me right now? Am I in this faithful or not? Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, I don't need to get ready right now, I don't need to be prepared right now, I got plenty of time. Verse 49. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I do not want to be lumped in with the hypocrites here and be a part of this evil servant. Brethren, God has provided us everything that we need to endure all the way to the end. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. He's allowed us to understand end time events to know when the end is near. You know, we shouldn't be trying to figure out the day and the hour, but we will know when it's near. He has given each of us instructions to follow. They were in a private conversation, just as if he was talking to us. He has given each of us instructions to follow. Something in a human being's nature finds it hard to heed God's warnings. Brethren, let's be sure to heed God's warnings and his instructions. Let's strive to submit to God. Let's be spiritually watching and be spiritually ready.